Welcome, you guys. As you know, I'm Chloe Ballatore. I'm a relationship and communication expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Want Institute. And I teach the tools of androgynous semantic realignment, which was created by Pat Allen, of transactional analysis, which was created by Eric Byrne, and tools that I've created myself because I've been doing this for over a decade now. I'm also married over 20 years. I found this work when I was at about the 10-year mark, and my marriage was in crisis. My life in general was in crisis. And when I saw how it transformed the lives of others, and I saw how it transformed my life, I was pretty impressed. I've been to traditional therapy before, and while I think it's wonderful to get my feelings and thoughts reflected back to me and have someone sit there and listen, I never really found it useful in terms of changing my life. And so that's what I found about this work that I love is that it's very results oriented. And that's what drew me in. I saw a huge change in my neighbor over about a 3-year period of time, and I wanted to get me some of that secret sauce. Now, this work will give you an advantage, in dealing with other people. When you understand these dynamics, it will give you an edge. And so the idea is to use that edge for love and for connection rather than to hurt others. And some of you guys know already that if I find out you're using these tools to hurt others, I won't work with you anymore. I work with men, I work with women, I work with couples, I work with teenagers. I also teach this work in smaller groups. I teach my books because I've written 4 books on this work. And that happens about a couple times a year. So if you want to sign up for that, I've put my credentials into the chat. Right now, we're in the middle of doing a module one. After that, I'm planning on doing a module two, and then I'll probably be done for this year. But the signups are always open, and that helps me know when it's time to start up at my next class. Okay, so what I'm going to do is talk about the principles that this work is founded on. This work is unique in that these are tools to execute on very established scholarship, scientific, and psychological principles. So I'm going to go into those first, and then most of the time is going to be devoted to your questions. So while I'm talking, think about what you want. All the work I do, whether it be in a private session, whether it be in this group or a smaller group, at an event, whatever it is, it's all motivated by what you want, what the person in front of me wants. So while my specialty is dating and relationships, you really can ask about almost anything because the dynamics on which this work is based are true globally, right? They're true all throughout life. It's not just in dating and relationships. Okay. So what are we talking about here? The most successful relationships are the relationships that are balanced between masculine and feminine energy. Okay. There's a lot of confusion about what masculine and feminine is, what each of these things is. And so I'm going to define those briefly. But what we look for in especially romantic relationships is that balance. It's complementary. So it's more about equity than it is about strict equality. Equality is great at work. All of us want to be paid the same for the same level of work. And we want to be treated equally. But in relationships, we go for equity because equity acknowledges the differences between men and women. Now, all of us are both feminine and masculine. And this is the principle of yin and yang that is attributed to the Chinese and is perhaps thousands of years old. But we've also seen this in more recent studies of the brain, where we all know that we have a right side of the hemisphere that is the feeling center, that is passive, patient, vulnerable. This is the yin or feminine energy. It's the energy of magic, of creativity, sensuality, sexuality. This is receiving energy. Feminine energy is in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world. And then all of us have that left brain, which is more singular. This is the territory of single-mindedness, of thinking, of doing, achieving, conquering, competing, controlling, giving, taking care of. These are masculine at or yang attributes, and yang energy is very much of the world. Okay. Sometimes a good metaphor I use is that the yang energy is like bricks and the yin energy is like flowers. Now, again, all of us are both, and all of us have a unique balance and relationship that suits us at any given point in time, that is authentic to us at any given point in time. And this is something that tends to change. For example, as we get older, as men and women reach the age of 45, 50, 55, we start to enter menopause or andropause. And this means we have drop-offs in hormones, which technically makes men more feminine and women more masculine. Okay. Now, oftentimes energy does follow along gender lines, but not always. So I'll work with, I'd say about 25 to 15% of women are more authentic in their masculine energy, and the same, about 25 to 15% of men are more authentic in their feminine energy. It doesn't really matter. It's really about finding that balance in your relationship. Because when we have this balance between these two energies, then we don't have power struggles. And you can have a power struggle for masculine energy, which is a struggle for control, or you can have a power struggle for feminine energy, which is a struggle for sympathy. What I teach is negotiating with love, which means one person gets their feelings cherished and one person gets their thoughts respected. And this is really key to this work, that the way that we achieve balance in our communication, our relationships, is through our communication. This is one way, right? And so I teach the tools to negotiate with love. Now, oftentimes, this balance in ourselves, our authenticity, our sense of self, our sense of self-confidence is disrupted by childhood trauma. And most of us have had some kind of childhood trauma, whether it be with a big T or a small T. Most of us have gone through something in childhood. And whether your parents are ill-meaning or were well-meaning, in this context, doesn't matter as much as how you coped with what happened to you. And when we're between the ages of 0 and 12, we have a number of critical developmental windows. So what happens to us during this period of time has more valence or power than things that happen later. You know, Freud postulated childhood as the only reality. So did the surrealist philosopher Andre Breton. So has Patsy Highsmith, the British mystery writer. So this is a phenomenon that's been observed throughout the centuries. Now, Freud thought that's it, you're cooked by 12. Well, he really thought you were mostly cooked by three. But now we know that the brain is plastic. We can change our patterns in the brain, but it takes effort. It takes consciousness. It's work. But I always think it's better to have the pain of change rather than the pain that change needs to take place. Because life is going to have pain in it regardless, right? This is part of the duality of living here on planet Earth. We have pain, we have pleasure, we have night, we have day, we have black, we have white, we have all the gradations in between. Again, this is symbolized by that yin yang symbol. Now, when we're children, because we're very dependent on the people who take care of us, on the people who own the refrigerator, We often have to sacrifice our authenticity in favor of attaching to those people. And as a result of that, we find that we make conclusions about our survival that we think are existential truths, but are actually just coping strategies in the moment. And whatever those strategies are, we then bring them into our adult life to resolve them. And the problem occurs when we use these strategies in our romantic relationships, because that's where the childhood trauma shows up first. That's where we see the replication of patterns from childhood. And your unconscious, your subconscious will do it in a way that your conscious mind could never plan out. And so that's something that I really help people a lot with, is understanding your patterns that don't serve you, understanding how you're sabotaging yourself, and doing what you can to stop that and enable you to get what you want. And some of the homework I'll give you is really simple sounding, but once you start doing it, it feels like a lot. It feels profound. Sometimes it may even feel like you're dying just to give eye contact to somebody. And that means that some old habits are dying, which is a good thing. The problem is that humans are doomed to repeat that which we don't understand and aren't conscious of. This is called the repetition compulsion. And so we reach out for things, people, scenarios that are familiar to us, that will fulfill the roles and the scripts that we hold from our childhood, unless we bring a ton of awareness to it. And energy to encourage really to change it. So kudos to everybody in this room, because I know you're interested in making a change in your life. As I said, even change for the better is painful. And so I also help people with understanding that and help you not necessarily stop once the pain starts, right? A lot of times people think, oh, you know, they make some changes. And especially with this work, you'll see a lot of results early on, oftentimes. And then it'll start to get hard and it'll be painful. And then you want to stop making changes, even if those changes are for the better. And so I help people keep going, because the more you stop and start, the worse it gets. You never want to avoid your triggers, because then your triggers control you. And oftentimes in romantic relationships, that's what we're dealing with. We'll pick our lesson. We'll fall in love with our lesson. Like I said, the subconscious, the unconscious will do it in a way that the conscious mind can never figure out. And so that's really our opportunities. It's in those moments that we have an opportunity to make change, to take what's known as a counteraction to our childhood script. Okay. So now I'm going to open it up to questions. And like I said, you really can ask me about anything. Anything even that I've already said, if something wasn't clear or you didn't understand it. And you do that by raising your hand or putting something into the chat. Sometimes people are shy, but truthfully, it's often easier to share in a room of strangers than it is sometimes with people we know very well. So use this opportunity. This is the one free event that I do. It's really important to me to give that to the community so that people can understand this work and get an idea of this work before they commit financially, or even so they know that they want to commit, right? So that they understand it. And some people can't afford to pay, and they will never be able to afford to pay. So it's important to me to do something that's free or low cost. That said, I did activate the pledge, and thank you to people who have donated to this meetup, especially since meetup just basically doubled their prices for organizers. I do appreciate everyone who has donated to that as well. Okay. No questions. Everybody's good. Everybody just came to hear me talk. I mean, I can keep going, but I think we learn more when we use these theories in examples. So that's why I want you guys to ask questions. So, no questions? If you guys don't have questions, I'm gonna just wrap it up really soon here. Okay, Rose. Hi, Rose.
Okay, hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, since no one asked question, I'm going to
Yeah,
ask.
go for it. Please
I
do. Don't be polite.
want to know what men think in relationship. I can read a lot of posts from women and say they can't trust men nowadays. It's true, and some men even admit that there are 75% men will cheat. And like agree, some women cheat as well.
Right.
So I just wonder, what does men
So,
actually think?
okay. Yeah, I understand what you're asking. So you're asking like what are the things that men say about women in terms of like why they don't want to be in relationships?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. So in general, women don't like to be used for sex and men don't like to be used for money, right? That's sort of like what I hear most commonly from men and women. Oops. Is there more to your question?
I can extend what you describe. For example, for sex, I also don't understand some women. I can, of course, not all women are the same. I'm a
Right.
woman as well, but I can see some women are become, what do they call it?
Gold
Whole
diggers.
faces, whole face after the divorce. So they just open to sex. But some of them just say that's after the divorce, they felt they were abused by their ex and they are not interested in sex.
Right.
But I just wonder, for men, are they interested in sex? So all of them are interested in sex? And then for money, for gold digger, I remember last time you were talking about when we go out, we let men pay for it. Is that what you say?
Yeah.
Personally, I don't mind to pay half of mine, especially in the beginning. If I'm paying mine, I don't feel guilty. It's just leave and say, hey, it does not work.
Right. Yeah. If you're not interested, I do think it's better to just, and you know you're not interested, then yeah, just pay for yourself. I mean, you're talking in a lot of generalizations, and I do think sometimes those are useful, but sometimes those are not useful. Because we don't want to get bogged down into all men are like this or all women are like this. Then we're getting into like what are known as episcripts or social scripting. And if you start thinking that way, then you're really not going to be open to the men who aren't like that or the women who aren't like that. And as to how many people are like that or not like that, I mean, look, we can all be jerks, right? We can all, even me, we can all be act reprehensibly. But hopefully, when we find somebody that we love, that we care about, that encourages us to behave better. One of the things about a healthy relationship is that you bring out the best in one another, right? And so what you build is it's not about really trusting the other person, but building a foundation of trust for the relationship, right? Because we're all fallible human beings and people will always let you down. Nobody's going to be 100%, okay? So when you go into these situations, it's really best to try as much as you can to be open, keep an open mind. That doesn't mean be stupid, but it just means give people the benefit of the doubt until they show you otherwise. With these tools, it's easy to see when somebody is acting out of integrity. So that can give you a little bit more confidence that you can go into something more open-minded and open-hearted. If you go in, and I have clients who come to me who say they want to be in relationships, but then they start in with, well, all men just want sex, or all women just want money, and and then that's something that we have to combat because before we can get into relationships, before we can really put our best foot forward with dating, because if you're already hating on all men or all women, it's not a good place to start from, basically. You understand?
Yes.
Okay.
But then how do we know what they were thinking? They want sex? Because I have read story like after men have sex, they will ghost you or they will not respond to you. I was wondering
Well,
why, if
sometimes
they
that
really
happens.
wanted.
And so women try to mitigate their vulnerability by not having intercourse until you get that commitment, right? Until you have a commitment for exclusivity, for continuity and consistency and longevity. Okay. Now, still could go wrong after you get that commitment, right? There's no guarantees, but these are tools that will help, again, mitigate that vulnerability. You're never going to get rid of it completely, but it
What
will help
tool are you
mitigate
talking
it.
about?
What?
What tool are you talking about?
Oh, with all these tools, like for example, I think it was you. I think we've talked about looking to see if their words and deeds line up, right? If they say they're,
Okay, I
even
see.
about small things, if they say they're going to call it five, do they call it five? Call it all? Do they call it six? Looking at some of the ways that they communicate, do they care when you express your feelings? If you say that you're cold, do they tell you you're not cold? Right? So some of the things that we've been talking about in this group. I mean, I can only touch on, the basics, the general information. If you want to go deeper, we need to, especially for your specific situation, we need to do that either in a private session or you sign up for one of the modules. But I mean, these are the tools that I'm talking about in terms of seeing more clearly what people are doing, what they're trying to do, what their motivations are. One of the things we work on a lot in module one is identifying gamified communication, what that looks like. And there's a great book called The Games People Play by Eric Byrne. And it's basically the guidebook for transactional analysis. And it breaks down a lot of the common games that once you start seeing people play games with their communication, triangulation, courtroom, now I got you, bait and switch, those are very bad signs. Okay. And so we try to flush the communication with the tools that I teach. And it's not one size fits all. It's obviously the tools are tailored to your situation, to different situations. But that's basically what I mean. Does that help?
Yeah. What
Okay.
if they tell you they have difficulty with their children and ask, how do I respond?
That they have difficulty with their children
Yeah, children or ex.
or their ex. Oh,
Yeah.
it depends. Like, again, if they're going on and on about it, then that kind of makes it an awkward situation,
They don't. Actually, I say, oh, I'm listening. Do you want to
Right.
tell me something? Then they're quiet.
Okay. Well, that's okay. You don't need to get involved in that right away.
Do I just be silent then?
Yeah. Or, if you're in the feminine role and you want your feelings cherished, you don't have to worry so much about pushing the conversation forward.
Okay.
And sometimes, you can just listen. If he asks for advice, then you can decide whether or not you want to give advice. But otherwise, just listen, take notes. This is going to be part of you understanding who this person is. I can't say just because he has a problem with his ex-wife, he's a bad person. I don't know. Every situation is different.
I just wonder whether I should do something. I guess I don't need to cheer him up.
No,
Okay.
no. No, definitely don't do that
Okay.
because then you're cherishing his feelings and then you're in the masculine. So, unless
Oh.
you want to be in the masculine, Don't cherish his feelings.
Okay.
Not unless he asks. Okay? Okay, I'm going to take Alex's question next.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Hi, Alex.
You'll never get rid of me.
I'm not trying to. How can I help you?
Well, I know you've never been very keen on like online dating, online apps, but in any circumstance, what do you make of when I'll say a whole sentence, maybe I'll have a question in it, and there's I always get a response of at max 4 words.
Yeah, and which 4 words are they?
Oh, well, it depends on what I was talking about.
Okay. So what you're saying is the responsibility is on you to push the communication forward.
Yeah.
That's pretty normal for the masculine role. Now, obviously, if somebody never speaks, you don't have to do this all the time, but it's awkward situations and conflicts is when these tools really come into play. But yeah, I mean, that's why if it's on an app, it's so much easier to not say anything, right? But in person, there's a little more pressure, to respond. But I would just keep going. I mean, just try to see if you can set something up in person. When you're on the apps and you're chatting on the apps, that's always the goal.
All right.
And it's not that I'm against them. I just think that there are some issues with them, and I don't I mean in certain circumstances, the apps are good because, during COVID it was good. If you live in a very rural area, it can be good. If you want to date people long distance, it can be good. It's just that until you meet somebody in person, you really don't know if you like them. And
Well, yeah.
so, that's why I just want you to, like, within 2 weeks, get off that app. If they're not saying a lot, it's really not a big deal.
Okay, well, and
See, still see if you can set up that date or that in-person meeting.
yeah, I actually did try just tonight.
Great.
So I'm waiting
You're
a
waiting to hear
response
back now?
letter.
Okay.
And she proved to me that she's a real person and not a bot or somebody who lives in a distant country.
Right. Good.
So
Okay, good.
that was nice to see.
Well, that's a success in and of itself, just the fact that you took that step, regardless of what she says. But I do look forward to hearing your update. You guys know I love hearing your updates as well.
Yeah,
Okay.
she proved
Okay.
that she's a real person and does in fact live in my area.
Excellent. So, a few criterias knocked off the list. Okay,
Yeah.
let's see what happens. And don't stop there. Try to have like, see if you can get like three people going at one time. That's the ideal until you're in a committed relationship.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to move on to Lords. Hi, Lords. Are you there? Okay. Well, raise your hand again or here, respond to the unmute if you want to ask a question. Okay. Do we have any other questions or updates tonight? Such a quiet little cozy night. Oh, okay. Vieira. Hi,
Yes. Hi.
Vieira.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How can I help you?
So I had a connection through a dating app, and I met this person a few times, three times, four times. And my pet peeve is lying. And so I try really hard to weed out the ones that are like, making up stuff and try being clear on that. That's my, those are my,
Right.
requirements. So I asked this guy, like, where do you live? And he says, I'm in
Oop, I lost you. Vera? Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay.
Yeah, can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, so he said, yeah, like he said, I'm in Santa Monica. I was like, oh, you work in Santa Monica or you live in Santa Monica? He's like, no, I live. I'm like, okay. So, and then I'm like, well, I don't want to. Then it, I kind of invited myself, like, oh, I would like to see where you live. And the reply was kind of like almost an excuse, like, oh, well, my daughter lives with me. And I'm like, okay, so that kind of like eliminated the idea that I will ever see or anywhere in the
Have
near
you already
future.
met in person or you just started up with that?
I did, we met in person, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm like, so okay, so then I'm like invited him to my place, and then I thought about it, and I'm like, no, you know what, I don't want to bring him to my place because I don't know where he lives and I don't even know his last name. And so I'm like, so again, I'm like, so at least I would like to know, your full name and your where you live and or the address or something. And so he was said something again, and he, again, I didn't get that information
And was
after
this in
the
person or over the phone or what?
no. Well, most of the, like, when I asked him, like, when I said that I changed my mind, like, I don't want him to come to my place, or I don't want to give him my my address because I don't know his. And I don't know, I don't want to play the, like, if somebody asks me straight up for an address, it would also be kind of
Yes,
like,
that's wise. Yeah, you're being that's smart. Yeah, I'm with
yeah.
you.
Well, at the end of the day, I found out that no, he doesn't live in Santa Monica. He lives in a neighborhood over that's like, I'm making up the Santa Monica part, but it's just like he lives in a less of a neighborhood than what he was selling, right?
Right.
Because I don't know, he forgot that he said where he eventually. Anyway, I eventually texted him. He's like, look, this is not going to work. I told you many times that this is, like, I can't have these kind of like little white lies of, where
Right.
people are located and stuff. And he's like, well, I don't remember telling you I live in Santa Monica. I'm like, really? Because you put that in writing on the,
Right.
in
That's
the.
already a bad sign. Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh. So, but I mean, how, I was trying really gently to get this information out
Yeah.
of this person, because from the get-go, I kind of felt like what he was telling me didn't make sense.
Right.
So I
And
was like,
that's smart that you heeded your gut instinct because we had there's a lot of information there, and a lot of times women are talked out of heeding that information, right?
right.
So the fact that you thought something was amiss and you asked a few more questions and his story wasn't lining up, that's all good. That's good
Yeah.
for you.
But
Because, then you weed him out.
yeah, but my struggle is the balance between listening to my gut, listening to my what our feelings are, and then at the same time I think, what if I miss on an opportunity because I'm like overly, trying to interrogate or trying to
Right.
investigate what's true and what's not true because
Right.
of my previous relationship experiences of liars.
Yes.
So
Yes, you're right. That's tricky. I think it's easier when you're communicating in person to see someone's eyes, if they're looking at you, if they're telling you the truth, the feeling that you have. So, you can get
Okay.
more information that way. But I do think, overall, it's good to, especially the first few meetings, meet in a public place. If you want, you can, have schedule for somebody to meet like a friend to also show up there just to make sure you're okay, or tell somebody that you'll call them at X time, if you're nervous about meeting somebody. But yeah, I mean, I understand people are reticent to give out private information. That's fine. But if you've met a couple times in a public place and then you want to find out where the person lives or what their last name is, I mean, that sounds perfectly reasonable. If you do have a question about it, definitely run it by me. It doesn't sound like from what you've said that anything you said was like too inquisitive or too probing or anything like that. You want to flush these people out. You want to get rid of people who are bullshitting you about where they live and what their last name is, And unfortunately, there's a lot of people on the apps who are in relationships, who are married, who are catfishing. So I think, again, it's just one of the downsides of using the app in terms of it just, you have to do a little more work.
Right. And then I start spiraling into like he said, he lives with a daughter. His daughter is a doll daughter, and then he has a, and that daughter has a child, like a baby. And I'm thinking, well, maybe that's his wife and his child. Like all of a sudden now I don't believe anything he said, because
Right.
he said one little lie or one little thing, and then he excused it by being, oh, I'm private and I don't remember I said that. It's like kind of like, okay,
Yeah.
uh-oh.
Then you just, if somebody doesn't want to say something, just say, oh, I'll tell you when we get to know each other better.
Yeah.
That's not an excuse to lie. So,
Okay,
yeah,
that's
just stop. He sounds dishonest. So you can just move on. You don't need to think about it.
just my
Yeah.
sounds good. Thank
Okay.
you.
You're welcome. Lords, let's try you again.
Hello? Hello?
Hi, you made it.
Hey. No, I just wanted to add on to what Alex was saying on the four words. I'm a person that actually doesn't talk much through text. So you'll only hear one word or something. But I feel like if you're having trouble just having the conversation going, this is the best time to actually be asking things about your values. At least that's what I've done when I feel like the guy doesn't have a conversation, because I'm like, there are certain things that I find important that I feel like my other person or my other half should find important. Like, if you see someone that's homeless, what would you do? Would you
Oh,
show
okay.
compassion, empathy,
Well, let
etc.?
me ask you a question. Which do you want in your relationship? Do you want to get your feelings cherished, or do you want to get your thoughts respected? Everybody wants both, but which is more important to you? Wait, sorry, say again.
Sorry, it went because I'm used to clicking on the mic, and
Oh.
so usually for me it's cherish, just because I
Feelings
deal.
cherished. Okay. So then, probably in the beginning, you're not going to be grilling him. Let him carry the conversation. If he has nothing to say, just sit in silence. It's not on you to start interviewing him. Then you're going into a masculine mode. Okay. That doesn't mean you can never ask a man questions, but when you're first getting to know a guy, that's the kind of thing that could scare a guy off. And by scare, I don't mean like, but more like turn him off. And it could be a subconscious or unconscious thing, but when you try to start getting control early on of the conversation, of the date, of the communication, whatever it is, it will appear to a masculine man like you're competing with him. And men don't want to compete in their intimate relationships. Competing's great at work, but in an intimate relationship, they don't necessarily want to compete. So if you're interested in the guy, you can be quiet. That's quote mysterious. Mostly when men talk about mysterious women, they're talking about quiet ones. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. That's gonna be horrible on me though, because I'm
the type of person that if you don't have enough detail, then you're just leaving me in mush. And
Oh,
then
well, I mean,
I
you can
get there.
ask him to expand on something, you know. I just wouldn't go into full interview mode.
Oh no, that was me telling Alex that he
Oh,
could do that.
Alex to ask the girls that. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, I think it's also really good. Alex, I hope you heard that one thing is, first of all, especially women don't necessarily like to text. Texting is technically a little more masculine. And so oftentimes women will want to have a conversation, like I told you, in person or at least over the phone. So that was really useful information. And then, yeah, I like this idea of, you know, perhaps asking somebody about their values. In general, though, I just bump on it a bit because it sounds like a test. And it sounds like there's a right and wrong answer. And the other thing is, it's really easy to say the right answer, but it's different when, you know, words are nice, but actions tell the real story. And so I don't know if I would put too much stock in those kinds of answers. I actually have a list somewhere of, I think it's from the New York Times, of good conversation starters. And if you want those, Alex, I can give them to you. But it doesn't sound like that's the problem. It sounds like it's just the responses. And I think Lourdes brings up a really good point that, you know, often women just would prefer to talk on the phone or in person. Not everybody's good on texting. Okay. Does that make sense, Alex? Did you want to say something else?
Yeah, and I was gonna talk about what Rose was saying.
Oh, yeah, what?
Well, just a lot of things like sorry, it doesn't seem like maybe Rose has met someone in my category where I'm not a lot of those things that she said.
Right. You don't fall into the generalization of most men or all men. Right. You're your own unique person. And not all men are like that. I think that's very good to point out. Is that what you meant? Okay. Good. Yeah, there's a lid for every pot, so you guys only need to find one. Rose, did you have something you wanted to add to that?
Yes, actually, have several things.
Okay.
One is the comment on the text. I do have mixed feeling about the text. It's very interesting. The person I am seeing, his energy level during text and in person are different. There were a lot of conversation during texting. However, in person, it seems not that active, but that's fine. It's good to know some person. For women, I think we prefer to know that person in person because if there's potential, you're going to live with that person, right? Instead of just by texting all the time. So that's my comment. But I do have a question regarding earlier. I don't remember that lady's name. Laura? She was talking about questions. So I have questions about questions. So that person I'm seeing, he said, oh, if you have, when we see in person, he will say, if you have a question, you can ask me now. So I'm thinking, what questions shall I ask? I can't think of a specific question to ask without being like interview. You know what I mean, right? Sometimes some question you ask is like interviewing someone, and you don't
Right.
want to do that.
Right. So, especially if you like the guy, ask questions that show you respect him. Okay. So you could ask for advice. You know, if he's an electrician, you could ask him for help with your light socket, you know. If you ask him for his advice, his know-how, his wisdom, men love to give that. They love to also talk. Men also often, you can get a man really going on his like life story or his work life story. So anything that is, you know, if he's maybe if he said, you know, just blase, oh, I'm, you know, I believe blah-bitty blah, you know, I'm a conscientious objector or I'm an animal rights activist. You could say, oh, that's so interesting. Tell me more about that. I love animals or whatever it is. So see if there's some idea, some achievement that he has mentioned that you can echo, praise, and then ask more about.
Okay.
That shows
That's a good idea.
respect. You know, you want to ask about his thoughts.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Andrew. Hi, Andrew. God, what's happening? I can't hear you. Maybe go out and come in or move to another area. But I am not hearing you speak. Or you can also put your question in the chat. Hi, Lords.
Hello. I may be reading too much into it, but it's from a past relationship.
Okay.
It's just so I deal with my own emotions, and the way that I deal with my own emotions sometimes is just not thinking about them. And so I realized that I would go on dates, and there was this particular boyfriend that I had told him already what was going on. So I told him it's like when I deal with too many of my emotions or if there's too many things happening, I'm very reserved. So you will not see it on my face. However, I will go out with you. Doesn't mean I'm not happy or sad or anything. It just means that you won't, sh there's no tint of emotion because
You
there's
have
too
like a
many.
flat affect. Okay.
That's basically it. A still
Yeah.
face, basically. That's what
Right.
I call it. Because I'm not the type of person that likes to make the other person happy because I feel like that has to do come from yourself, come from within,
Right.
right?
Yes.
But he took it as a challenge to do that. And in the end, he also took it as like, I just don't know if you're happy with me and et cetera, even though I had
So
stated.
he took it personally, even though you went out of your way to say it's not personal.
Yes, multiple times.
Okay. So there's a couple things that you said. So first of all, I'm a little concerned about the way that you described it because it sounds like you're disassociating a little bit. Now, while we don't necessarily want to act on all of our emotions, it is important to be aware of our emotions and not repress them or suppress them. And that can be a little bit tricky, okay? Sometimes that gets confusing. So you basically want to make sure you're not avoiding them, okay?
That's the thing. I was never avoiding them.
Okay.
If anything, I told them what was happening through the week, but by the end of the week, I was just drained and too many emotions were going on. So it's like this whole thing of like, I just need to be emotionless for a while for
Right.
me to bounce back. That
Okay.
is my own personal. I'm still working on how to make that a little bit different because I
Okay.
do see the unhealthy part.
Yeah, I just
And
don't want you to abandon yourself in those moments because it's okay to have negative emotions. It is part of life. If we're going to have happiness, we're going to have sadness. That's just the way it is here on earth. And so it takes a lot of courage when we do have a negative emotion to be able to sit with it and not reach for a behavior, a drug, something else to mitigate it. So I just want to make sure you're not repressing or suppressing. There's that. The second thing is, it sounds like this guy was, well, it just sounds like he wasn't listening. There is a disconnect that oftentimes happens with men and women where men want to fix and women just want to express. In your case, it was a lack of expression, but still he was trying to fix. And if it's not, if you haven't asked for help, it can sometimes feel aggressive when men are doing that, So how did the situation resolve?
Hello, hello.
Yeah, I can hear you.
It's so we broke up, which was fine because it's funny because that was the whole point of him. He wouldn't listen for a lot of things. He would
Okay.
tend to compare me to his family, and because I would just be open. Once I'm dating someone, I try to be an open book because I feel like that's how relationship bonding is, and in my
Right,
point of view, that's still
you
how
want to
I.
connect.
So it was one of those things where I let it be, but I'm wondering, is it just me? Was it because I was just going through my emotions? Because this is sometimes just a one day event. And sadly, if you pick a Saturday to go out, I'm still gonna go out with you because I love you and I care for you, but just don't have, and I'll be present, but it's just very hard to show any emotion because I'm
Right.
going through too many emotions
Right,
and
right.
trying to just like
You're dealing.
categorize one, yeah, by
And
one
I want to
first.
commend you for sticking with your commitment because that does show that you care about somebody. So you're really right on with that. Yeah, I mean, it's normal to have, well, normal. It's self-destructive, but it's a normal self-destructive pattern. To it's something that it's called afterburn, and it has to do with the amount of spiraling and regret you have after something happens. And so, in that scenario, look, you made a decision based on the facts you had in front of you at the time. And talking to me about it, I mean, I'm on the same page with you. If the guy's not listening, I mean, there's only so much you can put up with, You must have gotten to a point where you couldn't put up with it anymore and you didn't agree, you didn't think it would work. You rejected that behavior essentially. And so you did the right thing. You acted on your feelings, you acted on your thoughts. Now you're having questions, probably because you're not in another relationship, you're lonely. I mean, that's totally normal, but I just wouldn't. Those feelings are normal. What I want to prevent you from doing is turning on yourself, questioning yourself, because then you're not cherishing your own feelings. Then you're not respecting your own thoughts. I'm gonna give you the benefit of the doubt that in that time and at that moment, you saw a pattern of behavior that you didn't like, that didn't make you feel good. And so you rejected that. If that was unacceptable then, it's probably still unacceptable now. So I wouldn't lose too much sleep over it. Does that make sense?
Yes,
Okay.
I'm happy to know that I was a little bit in the right because I've been questioning it.
Yeah.
Just because I know that some of my friends have said the same thing, but I know for them it's more of like it's because you're not really that mindful. Like they pointed it out for me,
Oh,
in
okay.
certain situations, and I had to agree with them. In
Right.
certain situations, I wasn't really that mindful, but. Yeah, and then the other question was, you were talking about feminine traits and masculine traits. Can you give me some examples? Because I feel like I probably have been doing masculine traits without me knowing now.
Okay. Yeah. So you missed the very beginning, and if you do want to hear this recording, you can on wherever you get your podcasts. It's also going to be on YouTube, and those links I think are in Meetup, and they're also on my website. And here, I'll put them in the chat right now. But basically, the feminine and masculine, there is a lot of misunderstanding about this. But basically, the feminine, the yin energy, is the energy of feelings. It's passive, patient, and vulnerable. It's receiving energy. It is the world of creativity, nonlinear thought, magic, sexuality, sensuality, where the masculine is more that single-mindedness, doing, achieving, taking care of. Though that's kind of the basic difference between yin and yang. There's a great book about it called The Yin Yang of Life by Dr. Kim and Dr. Lee. And that book is actually, well, it's listed in the bibliography of my book, but you can find it on Amazon. And it basically divides literally everything in the world, like food, colors, into masculine and feminine. So yeah. That's all I'm going to say about that now, because we did talk about it a little bit already, and that there is like a lot of scholarship on that. And part of it is, you know, experimenting with it. That's like actually in my module one that I teach, it's the first thing we do is break down an interaction between masculine and feminine energy. Okay, I'm going to take Andrew's question that he put in the chat. Because I know, here, let me try to unmute you again. Oops, sorry. I can't hear you. I see you're unmuted, but I can't hear you. Okay. Is it uncommon that women compliment men? I had the craziest, heaviest attraction date, and maybe part of it was the constant compliments beyond the amazing looks and aggressiveness of my date. Never have experienced that before. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like when you're saying aggressive and that she's giving you compliments, it sounds like she's a little bit more in the masculine. And that's fine. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I have many clients where it's between a masculine woman and a feminine man. And because it's balanced, it works. I've even had men and women try to flip their authentic energy just because they liked someone a lot. And you can try that and see if it works, but understand, Andrew, that this is a woman who is acting a little bit more yang and a little bit more masculine. And so that may infringe on your ability to be masculine, which some men don't mind. Okay. And sometimes, especially if you're an alpha, which means you have a strong feminine side and a strong masculine side, sometimes you might be in the feminine in one relationship and the masculine in another. And with some of my clients who aren't sure if they want their feelings cherished or their thoughts respected, I'll encourage them to go out and try it both ways and see which seems to work more. So it sounds like, you know, you have... I mean, a woman who's interested in you and making the first moves. So you could, you know, receive that if you want, and see where it goes, because it sounds, said the craziest, heaviest attraction. That sounds good. You know, just remember, for a relationship to work long term, you need chemistry, which it sounds like you had. But you also need compatibility, which means usually, do you want the same things? And is one person willing to take the feminine energy and one person take the masculine energy? Because if you don't have that, you get into a lot of power struggles. Now you can see how it goes, but that's usually what happens. And then the last thing is communication, and that's what we can work on the most. So compatibility you can work on a little bit, chemistry, not so much. Sometimes for women, chemistry can grow once they get to know a guy. For men, usually chemistry is either there or it's not. Does that answer your question, Andrew? Yeah, great. Always like strong women, then go for it. It sounds like you, it sounds like, you got a situation. Okay, I'm gonna wrap things up now. And it's always great to hear from you guys. It's always great to hear your questions. If you have updates or questions in the meantime, you can reach out to me through my website. We can set up a private. You can also check out the books. And if not, I will see you. Oh, I actually won't be here next week. So if I don't hear from you, then I will see you in 2 weeks' time. Have a good night.